It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den, the show that is better than getting in trouble for wearing flair on your uniform. You could join our chat room, the Den Fan, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast, or as many folks do these days, they watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. The audio is better on davincomedy.com, but there's only visual on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined live on Facebook by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, is White Lives Matter racist? That's a good... Well, I like to start the second segment with a brawl. A police officer gets in trouble for wearing Trump patches on her uniform. That seemed like a good idea. A waitress is fired for refusing the vaccine. A lot of the military refuses to get vaccinated. The comics of the news story we did not get to last week, but we will this week. It's my blog. Governor Cuomo becomes New York's exclusive booking agent for comedy because he doesn't have enough shit to juggle. And scamming scammers. Oh, real quick. I remember when Govs Cuomo was the toast of the town.
Not so much lately.
No, it turns out he's It turns out it's like the Democratic version of Trump. He's just bullying everybody and being a douche. And now they finally, now the Democrat, the difference is the Democrats finally said enough is enough. The Republicans are like, no, bully us some more. Finally, the Democrats go, no, we don't like you yelling at us, you douchebag. But anyway, that's not the point. So, no wonder Cuomo and Trump got along. Two assholes, I'll tell you. Listen, I'm not going to get too much into it. I think Cuomo's done a pretty good job. I think he's done a pretty good job with the virus. Don't think he should have lied. No reason to lie, but an asshole. Don't really like assholes.
Yeah, I want to notice, since yesterday he had the press conference where they're opening up some of the movie theaters and stuff like that, and boy, oh boy, he doesn't have that smug, condescending, talking down tone that he's had. You know, he's been a little bit more personable.
Good. Eat a little humble pie. It'll make him a better. Listen, if he does that till 2022, he might get himself reelected. If he changes his persona, eats a little humble pie. Listen, if Donald Trump would have eaten a little humble pie, he might have gotten reelected. We'll see if Governor Cuomo has the gears that Donald Trump did not and adjusts. Because I got to tell you, I don't think people want to deal with an asshole for another 4 years after this. They're gonna go because the Democrats will primary him. And, you know, or the Republicans might run a moderate, so you never know. But anyway, we'll get to Governor. Yeah. We'll get to Governor Cuomo later on. Let's start it off with a little you stink. Pip's got a you stink. Here we go.
You stink.
All right, Pip, make everybody's day by sharing how miserable you are.
Well, you know, unfortunately, one of my really good friends' significant others passed away.
Oh, shit. You know what? Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. You got to tell me that this is going to be the foundation of a you stink. Usually I don't ask, but I don't like to start a show with death unless it's Joe's in a rollover vehicle. No, that's Tiger Woods. Never mind. Go on.
Well, I mean, it brought me to the you stink.
Okay, because that's... we're sorry for your loss.
Pardon me?
We're sorry for your loss.
Well, yes. Thank you. I mean, it wasn't completely unexpected, but it's still you're never really ready for stuff.
And, no, I mean, let's be honest, Pip. Death really should never be unexpected. I know people are like, oh, what a surprise, but it could come at any moment.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, I don't want to talk about her personal business. That's not the point of it. The point of the youth stink is that this was a terrible thing that happened to one of my closest friends, and our little group of friends, you know, you can't get together because of COVID. You know, there's no services that we could have gone to. It's just terrible. So we're reaching out for something that we could do for our dear friend. And
let me ask you a question. Did you get invited to the Zoom funeral? No, I'm not joking about that. The reason I ask is last week one of my father's oldest and dearest friends, closest friends, passed away. So my mom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. My mom tells me, and she's like, "Well, you know, you can watch the funeral on Zoom." No. I mean, listen. If it was like somebody really close, I probably would. But I mean, a Zoom funeral just sounds like atrocious. Turn on your camera. Who the hell's chewing? Who's chewing during the funeral?
You see the comics. Put the lid up.
Put the lid up.
A Zoom funeral sounds just god awful. Like, I guess, listen, when I went to my friend's mother's funeral, they did it, but there was people on the other side of the world. So I get it. I get it. But all in all, a Zoom funeral, I mean, it just sounds like a terrible idea. Hey, sorry you couldn't be here for the pain, but there's no reason to deprive yourself. Enjoy the pain in the comfort of your own home.
No, it doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, when my aunt died last April, I mean, it was only 12 people in the chapel, and we showed up. We had to wear masks and gloves. It was the most surreal thing I've ever dealt with.
So maybe at home,
watching it, you know, you could deal with it a little bit better.
I got to tell you, I know myself. If I'm watching the Zoom funeral, I'm changing the channel. It won't hold my attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was one thing when my aunt died at the very beginning of COVID. We could have a service separated out in, not in a church, but we did it at the graveyard. And there were only 6 people allowed. And we were, you know, spaced out from each other, in outdoors. So it was doable, but that's all that was available to have. And now that it's winter, you can't even do things like that. So, I mean, it's a tough time for people. It really is.
When my aunt passed, there was the only allowed 2 cars, and I saw a couple more cars queuing up, but it was the grandkids. And, I just the grandkids because they live in my aunt were a lot closer. So I'm like, I get it. So I was heading home, and I wound up taking a wrong turn, but I catch up with my aunt's funeral procession, and I actually passed my aunt's funeral procession. And it was, you know, it's like, I can't believe this is like fucked up.
Yeah. So you understand, of course, the gravity of the situation, you know, that you feel terrible for people because even our grieving processes have been stilted because of COVID, and you don't know what to do for people. It, you know, all the normal things that you would do are gone.
Well, you know what they should, what they should do is fire Fauci so we could have a normal funeral. But I digress. All right, Pip.
Yeah.
All right, Pip. So back to your you stink.
So our close group of girlfriends put together to buy her a hydrangea plant, which it is a beautiful flowering plant that when the spring comes that she could plant it in her yard to remember him by.
So wait, it was her husband?
Her significant other. They weren't married.
Okay, so it was your friend's significant other.
Yes.
Okay. Hydrangeas get very big.
Pardon me?
Hydrangeas can get very big.
Yeah, they can, you know. She has her own yard, and so we were thinking that this would be a nice gift because, you know, it not just cut flowers, you know, something that she can plant to remember him by.
Sure.
She also has another plant in her backyard, a butterfly bush that's a remembrance of our close friend that died about 10 years ago.
Can I just tell you, your friend has the most depressing garden in the world. And these tomato plants, my Uncle Nunzio passed away, so we Jesus Christ.
Actually, he's buried under the tomato plants because the fertilized, and we get beautiful salads, let me tell you.
And the crabgrass, my Uncle Timmy was a crab fisherman in Alaska, so we planted crabgrass to remember him. It, this is the most depressing yard ever. Oh, my God.
I guess it's going to turn out to be.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I sure hope somebody dies. I hate this dead spot over here. Huddle, huddle, ho.
After my father-in-law's funeral, my father-in-law's wake, we had the flowers. You actually were there, Dad. You were kind enough to come down. And there was Joanne wants to bring flowers home from the funeral home to put it in our house. And I'm like, I don't want these things in here. Why not? I mean, we're around the casket. I don't want them around the piano. I mean, it was creepy. They were next to that. I mean, I love my father-in-law, Governor.
I don't blame you. You know what the Jews do? What my parents did for my dad's friend who passed away. The Jews love this. They love to plant a tree in Israel. Nobody loves planting more trees than Jews. For a people that wandered the desert, they can't have enough trees. I swear to God. Why not? What they should do is erect a sandbox. I mean, historically, we're desert people. You know what? We're sorry Uncle Shlomo passed away, but we have a sandbox over here to remember him by. That would be the move.
I'd like to give a wandering Jew plant.
A what now?
A wandering Jew plant. I'd like to give those to Jews when somebody dies.
Is that a thing?
It is a thing. You had one on your porch.
I do?
You did. They're not supposed to be on the porch in the winter.
What anti-Semitic foliage that is. I can't believe
beautiful.
I don't give
They're
a
beautiful.
Shit. A wandering Jew? Fuck you!
Yes.
Here's a scattering black guy plant. There you go. Hey, look! It's the staggering Mick Bush. What is wrong with you? A wandering Jew. Oh, well. You know what? You know what we should do? We should make a plant here that talks about how the Jews couldn't ask for directions for 40 years. That'll be a nice remembrance of the Jews. Oh my God.
I knew that would get your goat.
You know what? We're gonna plant something for Jesus. No leaves, just two wood boards. I mean, what is
wrong? You know, working for a Jewish company, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's a lot of Jewish acquaintances that pass, and they always have the thing to plant a tree in Israel. And I'm like, you know what? The place must look like a forest now. You know?
Why is everybody upset that Brazil's burning their rainforest? Go to fucking Israel. They're filthy with trees.
That's so funny. I get National Arbor Day mail.
You know?
The Jews love a good tree planting. And my mom's so sweet. She's like, we put your names on it too. Okay. All right. So what I did was we sent a care basket of some challah rolls and some danishes. So I got the call. I got to talk to my mom. Go, we put your name on it too.
That was nice.
Now I guess what do you? I guess you can't sit shiva. I wonder if they
correct
the Zoom shiva calls.
No, well, you know, that's a good question. No, well,
yeah,
you can't.
I'm going for the joke. I'm curious about that.
I know, and yeah. Let's be honest. Not for nothing. If God forbid somebody close to me passed away, I'd be happy that I wouldn't have to sit shiva. Because that is. I mean, Pip came to see us when my father-in-law passed away, at my sister-in-law's house. But that shiva, you're just sitting. And you know, here's what I would be during shiva. I'd be like, well, why didn't that person showed up? Fuck them. When this is over, I'm not talking to them anymore. They need to come and pay make a shiva call.
See, that's like the Christian. We have the wake, but we have the book too. So you look at the book and see who showed up. But you know, like when my mom passed away, I mean, I remember everybody that showed up too. You know, I mean, a lot of people showed up from the fence business, from the plumbing business, from the bands, from you remember everybody, but you know. Yeah, you know, it's like now, and it's over in one night. You know, it's one night, and then after the service, the burial, you go and have something to eat. But with the shiva call, that goes on what, about 4 days?
No, it's like a week. It's like a week. Well, here's the thing, though: we made a faux pas. We used to have the voice of God and the little devil on the show, And we had the temerity to pay make a call at a wake. The three of us went to pay our respects at a wake, and we never saw that little fucker again. So sometimes it's best to stay away. That's how bad we are. People would actually prefer if we don't pay our respects.
Yeah. You know, it was recently his birthday.
I know.
I wonder if he even looks at Facebook anymore. He just dropped off the face of the earth when he got married.
He did. I didn't even put...
And he's a great guy, a funny guy, you know?
He's dead to me. He's dead to me now. Dead to me. You know what I'm gonna? You know what I'm gonna do for him? I'm gonna get a hydrangea plant. That's what I'm gonna do.
Well, you know what? As long as he doesn't do it the way I did it, because that turned out to not be so great.
Uh-oh.
So I told my friend, because we were having a text conversation, and I was like, look, we just want to, because somebody had sent her a plant, and I said, look, I just wanted to give you a heads up that you're going to be getting something from us on whatever the day it was. And she was like, oh, okay, thank you. And so then that day, it was, I had gotten a text from her, and I didn't see it until the next day. She was like, I know because you told me I was looking for it. I haven't gotten anything yet. And I was like, oh, my God, she texted me pretty late. What did they do? So the next morning, I got a text from her that is a picture of an open box looking down and looking at a pile of dead. And she says, is this what it's supposed to look like? No! It's not supposed
to. You took a picture of the dead person and sent it to you?
No, the plant, stupid.
The plant.
Oh.
No, she had texted me, like, it's not here yet. And then in the morning I saw that she texted me, I looked out and there was the box. And I was home, and they didn't ring the bell or knock on the door or anything. And is it supposed to look like this? And she'd open the box, and there's a pile of dead flowers that I'm looking at in the picture. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Now, did they have a disclaimer on the website that said, item may not look like what's in picture?
No. And it didn't say, hey, you know what? If you get some sympathy flowers from us, they might show up dead.
You know what? Hey, hold on. In their defense, the person, you know, who's going to honor them, they're not going to know.
And they also have something in common.
Sure, they have something to talk about. Neither one of us expected to arrive here dead. Look what happened.
You bastard.
Yes. Are you new? Are you new? Were you coming here for sympathy?
No.
All right, then.
Except, it was unbelievable that we're trying to cheer up, in what little way we can, our friend who has lost her long-term significant other, and they send her a dead thing. So I'm pissed. So I get on the phone to them, and I'm like, look, I want my money back. This is outrageous. And so the girl's like, oh, I'm so terribly sorry. So I'm not yelling at her. I know she didn't do it. But I am letting her know that I am not pleased. So she said, oh, I'm so terribly sorry. Hold on. We could send you a brand new one and, you know, with our apologies and everything. So I'm like, all right, maybe we'll do that. And so, meanwhile, she puts me on hold, and I'm thinking about it, and when we sent it originally, when I ordered for it, now you used to be able to order flowers and get it sent in a day or two, but they gave me this delivery date that was like, I understood that I was asking for it on Thursday before Valentine's weekend, so I was like, okay, I know they're going to be really busy, but the earliest they could give me was like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'm like, that's a long ass.
Yeah, but every place with deliveries is having issues. We ordered masks from China. They didn't even get through customs. You know, people are surprised when the United States Postal Office arrives on time. There's all sorts of issues between COVID, weather, cutbacks from the last administration. That's the USPS. That has nothing to do with FedEx or UPS. There's all, like, it's a crapshoot whether you get shit on dime.
Yeah, but by the time this woman gets the flowers, she'll be back from the dead already. Yeah.
So you're saying they'll come in, they'll arrive by Halloween?
Who'll be back from the dead? You think her boyfriend's coming back?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, he's going to be pissed off. He's going to haunt you. How dare you give me dead flowers?
So I understand all those things. So I didn't pitch a fit. I was like, oh, Valentine's weekend, everything takes a longer time. Gee, that kind of takes a long time. So whatever. I'm like, but it's getting kind of far away from the actual event. And when you want to show sympathy, you want to do it right away. So
why? Why? I mean, like honestly, out of all things, the dead ain't changing. I mean, I understand why you'd like to do it as close to possible, but seriously, like, of all the, like, a sweet 16, you get closer to 17. A wedding anniversary, pretty soon the guy forgets. A death, that shit ain't changing.
Well, it's not for him, it's for her.
Yeah, but she knows he's dead.
I know, but we want to try to cheer her up right away.
Yeah. I mean, he ain't coming back. At least the flowers are.
Can we just stop right here and analyze this? I've lost this person who I'm sharing my life with, who I'm deeply in love with, who is my soulmate. In lieu of that, here's some flowers. I understand the token. I understand you're showing sympathy. But let's not pretend flowers are cheering anybody up. Nobody ever goes, oh, flowers, so glad they're dead. Nobody does that. I mean, you know.
It's the vegetation.
Yeah, really. Oh, something else I have to take care of and then I'll die eventually. I mean, really. I mean, it's...
Listen, sorry. Wait a second. It's really rich that the Jew on the show, who they can't let the sun down before they chuck the body in the grave, you're jumping on me for timing. Really rich.
No, but the Jews are quick about it. We're not wasting time with fucking flowers. We know that body's gone. Warm food, baby. Let's move it on. Keep it moving.
The clock is rolling.
Yeah, time is money,
yeah,
bitch.
But you're sitting shiver right away. I can't get you know what? I can fit you in 3 weeks from now.
No, but see, that's the difference.
No.
That's that with Jews, there is a priority to get the flowers right away. With the Christians, they'll keep a corpse around for a month or two. They don't give a shit. They'll just put that shit on ice. Oh, you know, you see these like famous people. You know, they died and then a month later they wheel them the fuck out. You forgot they were dead.
Normal people don't work it that way.
The old Italian wakes 3 days. 3 days. I think the last one, when my grandmother passed away in the 70s. 3 days.
In the ground. Now I do. I will admit, 24 hours is a little much. It's like you know what that is. That's all. Listen, we don't want to inconvenience you. Don't worry about flying in for it. They'll be in the ground later on. Don't you? Because the Jews, we don't want to ruffle feathers because you might hold it against us. You just stay where you are. Send a babka. We know you cared about them very much. It'll be a nice little service. The rabbi's so good. And boom, you're in the ground, you're moving on with shit. That's the way the Jews are.
Actually, if you can't get to the shiver, you go to the unveiling.
Yes, yes.
You have a whole year.
Yeah, with the Jews, you could send the flowers any day of the year. Because we're not letting you forget that shit. Boom, just when you thought they're dead, we're going to go see a headstone. Yay!
And when you pull the thing off the headstone, do you go, ta-da!
Presto change-o!
Mazel tov!
Still dead! Did you get the hydrangeas? No.
Well, wait. I'm getting there. So she says, okay, well, you know, I'm so sorry, we'll arrange them to be reset. Good. Then she said, our earliest date that we could send it would be March 3rd.
Whoa!
March 3rd? Are you kidding me?
That's
no.
Inexcusable.
No.
Is this a major, does this flower company have an 800 in front of it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay. You know what would even make that better? If they put a 1 in front of the 800 for this flower company.
You know what they do, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is...
And it's something to do with flowers.
Oh, okay. So this is a major chain. This is an. I'll tell you who did not get a good Yelp review, Joe. Some.
Yes.
That's inexcusible.
March 3rd.
Yeah.
That's exactly the words I said. I went. That is totally unacceptable.
But now you know. Now you know why the flowers arrived dead. It's a very long journey. They're in that box a very long time.
That's
next Wednesday. That's a week
of the
day.
It's forever ago. And we're already talking that, you know, he passed away on February 6th.
Wow, it's a month later. That's no good.
Yeah.
Especially when they screwed up. That's got to be a rush order.
Exactly. Wouldn't you be trying to get this fixed right away?
Well, I wouldn't take you. I wouldn't do business with you. But if somebody else wanted to, yes, I would feel they would feel inclined to make that right as quickly as possible. That's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. So I said, no. You know, I could go. And she goes, well, I could tell you some you know, cut flower arrangements that could be delivered earlier. No, the whole point was this arrangement. This plant, carefully picked out with the beautiful holder, that could be planted in the ground later so that she can, you know, remember him with this. No, no.
Did you ask him what the holdup was? Did you ask him why?
I didn't even bother at that point. I was just like, that's not...
Because I'm waiting on stuff, and they're blaming the weather and this, that, and the other thing, but I mean, look, I fucked up an order yesterday. I didn't make our truck. So, I mean, I wound up sending the stuff the next day, UPS, picking up free freight allowed, because I fucked up. Yeah, I talked to Don, and I thought, send it out UPS, we'll pick up the charges and stuff like that. That's called customer service. That's called fixing a mistake.
And that's what you figure.
And a lot of companies don't realize that when things go right, you never notice. You never know. You place an order, you get your order, everything is fine. When people remember... is when things fuck up and how you handle it and how you accommodate them when things screw up. So if there's a mistake or whatever, I go out of my way and do my damnedest to get it resolved, because you can stand in front of the counter and talk to them and they're blue in the face. If you can't deliver, especially when something screws up, your words mean nothing.
No, that's
exactly.
Have that attitude there.
1-800-Flowers certainly earned their you stink. They certainly earned it.
Wait, there's more. Exactly, Joe. You'd think that they would be jumping over, you know, hoops to try to fix this. She gave me the crazy delivery date, but then said that they could get cut flowers that could be delivered earlier. So I don't understand their business model. I don't really want to do a deep dive into this. I want satisfaction.
They might not have a lot.
I don't care why.
They might not have a lot in stock right now of of bushes that are going to get planted. If you really think about it, it's not really planting season right now.
It's not. No, it's not yet. But the thing was that, you know, this is not working for me. So I said, okay, give me my money back because this isn't working. So she puts me on hold. She comes back and she goes, well, we'll give you a percent, a partial refund. And I'm like, a partial refund? She said, exactly. She said, because you did get the flowers, and I said, dead plant.
Dead plant.
Now, to be sure, the plant itself is not dead, but the flowers on top were dead. And it's like, that's what you're sending. It's 1-800-Flowers, not 1-800-Shrub. So, no, fuck you. No partial refund. I said, partial refund? And she said, yes, and I will personally call the person and apologize. And I'm like, she doesn't know you. I don't want you calling and apologizing.
I want a manager on the phone right now. Immediately.
Well, you're jumping the gun, Joe. You're jumping the gun. So I said, all right, if that's the best that you can offer me, get your manager on the phone right now, because that's completely unacceptable. I want a full refund. And so she said, I'll check on that. Hold on, please. When she came back, she gave me a full refund, and they're emailing me a $20 off coupon, like I'm going to fucking
all right,
use them again.
You know what, though? They honestly did the best they could do. It's not hydrangea.
They did the
So I don't know if they get a huge stink, because they did eventually make it right. They just made you jump through hoops. So they don't really stink. Yeah. You just can't recommend them.
I can't recommend them because they ask you for your phone number, the recipient's phone number. They have their address. She was home. They could have even knocked on the door. Obviously, it was left outside. I don't know what condition it showed up to the porch in, but it was freezing out, and you're delivering flowers.
Oh, wait a minute. Now that, you know what, though, unless, see, I don't know what the protocol is. I don't know if, don't these things usually have to get signed for?
You'd think, but it came FedEx.
Yeah, so you know what? That might not be their fault. That might not be the flower, that might not be the flower company's fault. It is winter. It's not because what are their options? If they take it back to FedEx, it's going to be sitting in the warehouse for a day or two, so it's still not going to be treated right. You know what? I don't know what the
But they didn't need to leave it on the porch. She was home.
Yeah, but you don't know if she heard it. So many people they don't hear it, or they don't come to the door. I don't know.
She was waiting for it.
Oh, well. I don't know.
So she was like attuned to, did somebody ring? Did somebody knock? Did somebody call me? They had a million ways to get in touch with her rather than leave it there to die. Now, 1-800-Flowers, they did come through in the end, but they were giving me all kinds of bullshit. Like, I had to wade through shit. And that's what annoyed me, is that you delivered dead flowers to a woman whose partner died.
That's not their fault.
I shouldn't have to jump through hoops. To get that rectified.
Well, I mean, the moral of the story is here. You should have fucking planted a tree in Israel, you animal.
But even with shipping, so I got a quick you stink. I had an order that I had a check on that got refused, and I needed to find out why it was refused. And I go to call UPS, and first of all, you get the number. Now you got to put the tracking number in, and it's not recognizing the tracking number. So I'm looking for an operator. And I'm waiting for an operator. They hung up on me. I had to go in again. Enough with the tracking number. I put the tracking number in. Now they want the last three. And it's all automated. This went on for 10 minutes. I finally get the code in. And now I'm on hold for 20 minutes waiting for somebody to come on the phone to get this worked out. I'm at the day program, so I'm getting paid for this. But I'm sitting there. I'm going, imagine if I'm just having a problem with the shipment. And you go through this, and you can just hear the transfer. I'm talking to somebody that's in Pango Pango. They're not even on these shores. You know, so it's just amazing how these companies are starting to get away from the human element and just going through making you wait, where the customer service is just horrible.
Because there's no tax incentive for them to hire American and keep it here. It's cheaper to pay somebody in Pango Pango, you know, 30 cents a day than pay, you know, somebody here. Even minimum wage. We're not giving them tax breaks to make them higher. They said they were going to do that, but that actually made it worse in the last tax thing that they passed. So customer service is shit. You either got to chat with them like in the old chat box, or it's hard to get people on the phone. It's a headache. Everybody's going through the same thing. Now, speaking of the dead, I had this thought. Somebody, a legend, I guess, in our media, Rush Limbaugh passed away, and I really didn't comment on it, but I'll tell you what, a lot of people did. A lot of people on the left were not big fans, and I understand why. Now, Rush Limbaugh said horrible things about people who died of AIDS. He called a college girl a slut, which killed talk radio, which is why it's so hard to do talk radio now. So he did a lot of things. Now, people on the right liked him. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is the reason why I have a CD player in the car, because when I'm driving across the country, most of the time it's either Rush or Jesus Christ, and I don't want to listen to either one. But, so my question is...
Well, now they're together.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't
think so. But now here's the question. Like, people are like, how dare you talk badly of the dead? But, if somebody in their life made a habit of talking badly about the dead, and really divided the nation, whether you think the guy was right or wrong, he really was a very divisive force in the nation. He's a big precursor to why, you know, we have 24-hour news and, you know, and these talking heads and talking puns. And good for Rush, he was a talented guy. But he was a very divisive, individual. So is it wrong to talk ill of the dead if they talked ill of the dead when they were alive?
I would take the high road.
I did, but I certainly wasn't going to.
I rest in peace, but I left it at that.
Well, I only posted one joke. My joke was I can't believe Hillary Clinton's going to get away with giving Rush Limbaugh cancer and killing him.
That's a good joke.
Because he was obsessed with the Clintons. But so you would take the high road. I took the high road too, Joe. But I would not wag my finger at somebody who was talking ill of the dead for somebody who talked ill of the dead while they were alive.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't judge people who wanted to talk about it. I mean, I wasn't really... I don't love it when people are like, oh, good, glad they got cancer and died. It's like, wow, that's pretty rough.
It's very jarring.
Really human.
It's very jarring.
It is. It's like, whether I agreed with your positions or not, that's still a human being, and you got to... step back with that a little. God.
The next time you're going to hear that is probably, and I'm just saying this because of his age, probably Donald Trump, somebody who's so divisive, where it's going to be like the same thing. You're going to have people who love them and throw bouquets at him, and you're going to have people who are just going to, who can't wait for him to be six
but
feet
you
under.
Know what, you know what, though? Everybody's got a right to say what they got, and this is where,
of course,
the whole cancer culture thing. Everybody's got their right to say what they're going to say. So if I'm watching somebody, and they was playing, Rush Limbaugh, you're burning hell, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go, man, you can't. No, you have a right to say it. And if I'm saying, if I'm posting thing, I have my right to say it, too.
I will admit.
They're saying it. It's each his own.
I will admit, the news did not leave me heartbroken. And I'm not going to talk badly about him, but this guy, listen, man, here's the thing. Some people have certain gifts, and Rush Limbaugh is credited for having the gift of gab, having an entertaining talk show, being able to convey a point, drive a message. Everybody on all sides of the aisle would agree to that. The thing is, when somebody has like that type of gift, you'd like to see them do it for good. Like LeBron James has the gift of basketball, and he tries to branch out now and do other things with that platform, tries to help people. So you'd like to see people try to do, when you have such a God-given talent that you work on and hone. I'm not saying he was lazy about it. Rush Limbaugh wasn't lazy. But you would like to see them be something more than dividing the country, because he's a big reason why the country's divided.
Or just be so negative, so negative and mean.
Well, he was a component of it, not to, the thing. And I believe he did give to charities. I don't know if he was that outspoken about it, but he was charitable from what I hear.
Well, I mean that's nice to hear. I don't know one way or the other, but he's just an overwhelming force for bad things. Like there's nothing wrong with There's nothing wrong with having a certain ideology, whether it be conservative, liberal, or anything else. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with trying to get that point of view out there. But the constant tearing down of the other point of view, which has become so prevalent in our society, is the really negative impact that he had, where it's no longer, okay, we're on the same team, we disagree, which is what we do here. We're all on the same team. Sometimes we disagree. At the end of the show, everybody's fine. Happy, crappy. See you next week. He ushered it. That's what it is, essentially. He ushered in this thing.
That's what we're closing with tonight. I gotta remember. You gotta say that.
Happy, crappy.
Happy, crappy. He ushered in. It's like, no, we're not all on the same team. You're the enemy. You're less than. You're less than. Which
that's the thing. You're less than.
Yeah.
That is the most potent meanness that really got to me.
Well, you gotta admit CNN is no better.
No, but Rush was the Rush. Well, I would say they are, but Rush was the catalyst of this. He was the guy. He was the guy that ushered all this stuff in on both sides. I mean, the right is more guilty of it, but on both sides, where, and you see it on the far left, where no, you don't just disagree. You're not a patriot. You're not an American. You see that. He helped usher that because it's full of this bombast. You got to understand, people who listen to this type of stuff, they don't want to be challenged. They want to be reaffirmed. That's what a lot of talk radio is. That's what a lot of the successful talkers do, especially.
Well, yeah, and you know, and like, yeah, I'll agree with that. Matter of fact, one of the challenges I like about this show is I'm the only, you know, I'm usually the only conservative on here. So if I go on Ant's show, you know, it's all the same thing. So I'll say something. It's like, yeah, rump, rump, rump. It's, I don't mind. Easy day.
Yes. Nice change of pace.
Even if I say that, sometimes the welcome wagon don't pull up, you know, but it makes it interesting because I got to prove my point.
See, I never had an issue going toe-to-toe with Anthony or Brother Joe when I did that. It was just I didn't feel like dealing with their fans. Like, because I can have a conversation with Anthony and anybody has in studio or Brother Joe. I can have those conversations, and it's fine. It's the same type of thing. We'll make our points. We'll laugh. At the end of the day, we shake hands. It's happy crappy.
Right.
But I don't need to deal with his fans because they're just so negative. They're just
yeah.
Where it's like I don't want to bring my skills like I'm LeBron James, my talents like I'm LeBron James.
And the thing about it is, they're vicious with everybody.
Right, but it doesn't.
Fuck yourself, Ant can go fuck yourself. Joe Curry can go fuck himself.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
Like a damn thing.
It doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't appeal to me to be in that form. It's the same thing. I posted something on Facebook about Gina Carano more. We talked about it last week, but she was like, "Oh, I'm getting bullied on Twitter." Blah blah blah. Yeah, are you new to what Twitter is? It's a terrible, terrible place. If you don't like what Twitter is, either don't put out controversial things or don't put out any opinions or leave the platform. If you're going to go putting shit out there, don't be surprised when you get blowback. That's what the platform is.
Give me an example. Like I said, I love my deer. They're my babies. So if I take a picture of them, I'll put one on Facebook and you have the little hearts and you put it on Instagram and you get a little heart. I put it on Twitter. Oh, it looks like lunch. I like to blow the one of them heads off when the season comes. You know,
Jesus Christ!
Different clientele. Yeah. You know? I don't post that shit on there.
Right, so it's like,
yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry if I don't feel bad for Gina Carano, who's a 38-year-old woman who is an MMA fighter when she feels like she was bullied. Now listen, I do think she was bullied. I do think people were dicks to her. But own this shit. Don't go crying in every platform you get to. I can't believe I was bullied on Twitter. There's a lot better people than you, Gina, that get bullied on Twitter.
And that's why, you know, and that's why if I post something that I think is going to get a feedback, some days I'll look at it and I go, I just am not in the mood for it. I don't have the time. I don't really have the thing. And then I'll post it and I might bring it on. You know, so you got to realize if you're posting stuff, you need to pick and choose your battles. So if it's game on, you can't sit there and go, oh, you know, it's not cool, blah, blah, blah. It's fucking game on. You brought it, you know?
Well, to tie it all together, back to the point, the people that listen to Rush and watch Maddow or Hannity or any of that stuff, they're pretty much watching so they can be reaffirmed. They're pretty much watching so they can go, I knew it, and they know it too, and they're saying it, so it must be right. You're not really getting challenging to your ideology, which is fine.
No, that's the basis of it. That's their base. That's how the mortgage gets paid with them.
Sure. But it doesn't appeal to me, which is why I don't really watch, I don't really listen to talk radio, and I don't really watch those things. Now, I will say this about Rachel Maddow, it makes her a little bit different. I've never seen anybody break down a story in so many different directions. Once in a while, I'll do it here. But, like, if you watch Rachel Maddow, forget about where she's going with it. Forget about with, you know, it's Bush is bad, Trump is bad, whatever. You know, it always winds up there. Forget.
So the object of the story, just in the crafting of the story, regardless if you agree with it or not, the crafting of the story is interesting.
Yes, the research that her and her team do, and the way she weaves it all together in a storyline. I don't think there's anybody else like her. So if you want to see how a narrative could be told in a political forum, I would say watch Rachel Maddow. Now, if you're a conservative, you're going to tear your hair out because
how about Ann Coulter? Because Ann Coulter will do the research, and Ann Coulter really won't, you know, stop powdering Trump's ass. You know, she'll call.
No, but I'm not. With Maddow, I'm not talking about the political part. I'm just talking about as far as being able to deconstruct a story and tie it all together. I'm talking about that that art of the craft, I've never seen anybody do it like Rachel Maddow does. Like, she will take, like, she'll do 30 minutes at the top. It's only an hour show. She'll do 30 minutes at the top, and she'll put, like, all right, and the Trump Organization in 1988 did this, and then she'll bring it around to something that happened last week, and it's like, the research they do is mind-blowing. Again, if you're a conservative or a Trump fan or a Bush fan or whatever, you're not going to like where it ends. I'm going to tell you that right now. But if you want to watch a master craftsman, but that's the thing about her. If you watch her and you have an open mind about it, it is hard to say sometimes it's horseshit. Now, when she holds up a bullshit tax page, you know, that's some horseshit right there. I remember that a few years ago. Everybody killed her on that. But the way
everybody jumped on her for that.
But the way she brings it all together and dots the I's and crosses the T's. Now, listen, I'm sure on some of the stuff, if somebody had a counterpoint and could do the same research, they could say, yeah, but not necessarily over here. That being said, my only point is, I've never seen anybody deconstruct a story like Rachel Maddow to prove a point. So that's why I put her a cut above as far as her craft. I think she's going to go down as one of the greats. And really, the left doesn't have a lot of greats. Talk radio does not work for the left. Talk punditry does not really work. Keith Olbermann tried, but then he was just too much of a firebrand, and the left goes, we don't like the way this feels. And Keith Olbermann put his tail between his leg and went right back to sports. But, Joe, watch it one night when you get in it. Forgetting about where it's going to go in a place where you don't like. Just watch the way she can deconstruct it and tie it all together. It's really quite...
What I'll do is I'm going to go out to Home Depot. I'm going to get some wood, and I'm going to build a frame. Then I'm going to get some plexiglass from aisle 7. I'm going to put it in the frame, and I'm going to wheel it in front of my TV so when I throw beer bottles against it, nothing happens.
That's fair. that's probably a sound investment.
Nice little project.
I used to do that in a sports room. Have a big screen TV with a plexiglass thing and a little trough at the bottom so you can throw beer bottles at it when they fuck a play up or something.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference between her and Hannity and Tucker Carlson. They're not even good at it. Like they're not even good at it because they just contradicted themselves 6 months ago. And they don't really have all these stories from 20 years ago to tie a thread together. They're just not, I'm not saying they're not good entertainers. They're obviously very good entertainers. But I'm just saying as far as, you know, pitching their story. And it doesn't help when the network you're on goes, yeah, I don't believe this guy's full of shit. Only a moron would believe him.
And I've said it before. I mean, I'll watch Tucker Carlson, but I'm not a big fan of his because when the opposition comes on, he doesn't let them give a fair fight. He cuts them off and stuff like that. So it's not a fair debate, in my opinion. And, you know, and like I said, I mean, we go through it here. We go through everything and stuff like that. But I it's not a fair debate. And I don't think both sides of the story are getting out properly.
Well, you're not really going to... CNN used to be able to have both sides of the argument on. I don't know if Trump just stopped sending his people to CNN, or I'm guessing that's what it was. Now they wouldn't have like Chris Cuomo would have Kellyanne Conway on, and some of the others would. I wouldn't put Kellyanne Conway on because she's so full of shit. But they used to have people like before Scaramucci hated Trump, he loved Trump, and Scaramucci would like be on there. And Scaramucci was actually a very good advocate for Donald Trump. He would break it down, and you know he'd be able to convey what Donald Trump might want them to convey. CNN used to be able to. I don't know if they made a decision like we're not having them on, or if like. Trump administration just said we're not doing it. Jake Tapper gets people from both sides. If you watch Jake Tapper on Sunday morning, it's hard on Sunday mornings. It's hard to get these shows right now, these cable news shows, to give you both sides of the story. Now Fox News will report stuff that I was unaware of, which is why I used to watch Fox News sometimes. Go, oh, what are these liberals up to? You know, they used to report shit that MSNBC and CNN wouldn't report. But I really can't watch Fox News anymore because it's so full of shit, and they're just getting rid of all their newspaper people and just putting on all these opinion people that I rarely will go over there to watch now because everything is just so fucking biased. I can't do it now. But whatever. That's listen. So our point is, we would not talk badly of Rush, but we're not going to wag. Pip and I will not wag our finger, and Joe won't wag your finger if.
No, because like I said, but the cancel culture is going to be something you're going to say. So if you know, that's not right. Then there's something I'm going to post that I'm going to be thrown. No. Everybody has got free speech and is entitled to say their piece. Regardless, if you want to speak ill of the dead, you don't like the guy, fine. If something goes on and I make a comment, I can't believe you said that. Hey, you want to know? You know. What are you going to do? It's like when I made the statement, the new health secretary, the trans sexual there,
yes,
came out. I made a comment that you look like, you know, I said Biden picked his old friend Ben Franklin to be the health secretary. Now there was a girl I went to high school with that chewed the shit out of me. She goes, "Well, I was expecting one of my low quality degenerate friends to say something." I'm like, "Here I am." And then she goes, "You know, so would you say something like that about somebody that had Down syndrome?" I go, "Let me get this straight. Are you equating that somebody that's a transsexual is handicapped?"
It's not a good analogy.
And if you're telling me that, then you got the problem, not me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that now she did, so, if she came at you with that, that's a terrible analogy.
That was a terrible analogy.
She's just admitting that you could, in my opinion, you're considering somebody that has, you know, that's a transsexual, is got a handicap.
Well, the flaw in that argument is you're talking about somebody who made a decision. Now, whether you could say it's biological or not, on some level, they made a decision to have the operation versus somebody who had no decision in Down syndrome. They were born that way. It's a god-awful analogy.
Yeah, and number two, I'm goofing on the person because you look like Ben Franklin. Could be a man, could be a woman, could be a trans man. They look like Ben Franklin. I'm making a joke. Yeah, and if you're equally, you know, you look like Ben Franklin. I'm sorry.
I don't think you are.
The reason I was laughing before is because you started off with, "Yeah, the transsexual there." You sounded so much like Archie Bunker. I'm like,
No, if he was doing Archie Bunker, "Yeah, the Transformer there." That's how Archie Bunker would do it.
True.
Yeah, they got more than meets the eye, as it turns out, there, Meathead. It's transgender. Transgender.
That's transsexual. Okay.
Transgender.
No, isn't it a Trans-Siberian Orchestra? It's Trans-Siberian Orchestra. That's what they are.
There's another word. And God, do I sound like Archie Bunker? I actually said that to myself when I was saying it.
It was even your intonation and the, when you said "there" at the end, it was like transsexual there.
Yeah, she got that.
Like, oh my God.
She had one of them. What do they call them? What do they call it? She had one of the mass transit operations. That's what she had there.
Yeah,
that's essentially what it. Listen, I'm not making that joke. I wasn't a fan of the joke, but I'm not going to come down on you for the joke. But I'm not a fan of it because I don't really attack people's looks. That's just me. I don't give a shit what you do. You said what?
We're comics, and sometimes there's raw meat. You know, and I can't look at that and not say anything.
Well, you could. You could. You chose not to. I'm not going to yell at you for that. I mean, it's just not my sense of humor.
Go to sleep. I can't go to sleep. I just can't sit there and not say something.
Well, okay. Listen, you said much worse on this show. So for you to make that comment was not startling to me at all. So, Joe, quickly, anything going on before I take a break?
Yeah, I had a great weekend. Fragile Sky, we're going to be on the show called The City Rocks. I believe March 26th is going to be the air date. And we went to do the filming for it on Saturday. And a lot of it went, just trying to schedule the date with the guy. Remember that night that I was on the show and I was getting all the text messages and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get the date, it was a big fiasco. We finally had a band meeting. We had the date. Now we went into rehearsals. And going into the rehearsals, The rehearsal on Thursday night was a hard. We couldn't. We had a problem with the sound for an hour and a half before we could even start playing and stuff like that. And I'm happy as a pig in shit because a shit rehearsal means a great gig. So I was happy at the end of the day we all pulled it together. You know, pulled it together. The three songs we were doing was fine. So we go to do the video and everything is running like clockwork. The guy Don Chafin that runs the studio, everything was fine. Don Jameson, who was on that metal show and does Jameson show on Anthony's platform is also a comic buddy of ours. So Mike Messina from my band goes, why don't you get Dom to interview us? And I'm thinking, why? Because I don't think in those terms. I think Dom's my comic buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me, I go, holy shit, he was on that metal show. And he's interviewing us, and that forum is fantastic. So Dom was very gracious. He came out. We had a great interview, you know, and it was a fun day. Everything ran like clockwork. The one thing that I, and when you guys watch the show, you're going to see me very calm, cool, and collected. I was having an anxiety attack. I'm like, we had three songs. We did two takes of each song. And I'm freaking out. What if I make a mistake? What am I doing this? And when the camera started rolling, I'm playing and I'm doing okay. You know, but I'm like, don't make a mistake. Holy cow. And now I'm thinking, I'm like, so let me get this straight. You want to start doing auditions again in another year or so to do acting and stuff like that on camera? So this is, you're going to freak out then? What are you really? You want to do this? I go, how long have you been playing these things? Been playing these songs for 4 years, 5 years. You don't know them. You're nervous. And all of that is going through my head while I'm playing, you know? And when we, and I was telling my lead singer, Joe Melinda, I go, I was freaking. I go, dude, sometimes that happened. I go, but you know, I go, I've been in bands and comedy and stuff. I go, so I've been in front of an audience, you know, 800 people. All I care about is if there's Doritos on the way home. I never, you know, got nervous, but it was the first time performing in any forum. I was having an anxiety attack. I mean, the last time I had was about maybe 16 years ago, but that was due to the day program I was in carrying over. But just basically on the entertainment, I was starting to freak out. I'm like, can I finish doing this? And I'm like, oh. And I just had to calm myself down. But it was very, very up. But it turned out great. We all had a ball. And you know what? A lot of projects that I've done with filming and music, sometimes of a disaster. This was fantastic. The Don Chafin at Deep City was great. Don Jameson was great. The host Joe that he had was really good. It was a fun day, and I can't wait for everybody to see the finished product on the 26th.
Very good. Look forward to that. All right. Cool. On the break, we got new music from Boisco and Cochinera and Sven Coleman with The Beat Is On. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. Also got new music from Freya Alley with The Big Wild World. And you can learn more about Freya at deucemusic.com. When we come back, White Lives Matter, racist or not racist? We took a poll, a Trump patch on a police uniform. How'd that turn out? I got a hint, not good. Vaccines, can they make you take one? And Governor Cuomo, he doesn't have his hands in enough shit. Now he's the biggest booker in New York comedy. That and much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I have more respect for the guy.